and then get writing.
Good evening, you're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM. This is Simon Welton. Coming up right away is the White Noise half hour sketch comedy. Coming up right after that is the White Noise after show, and I'll be joined by local comic Kelly Dyer. So if you have any questions for Kelly, email us in at whitenoiseubc@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at whitenoiseubc. So yeah, definitely get your questions in and we'll chat with him after. But coming up right now is the White Noise show, so please enjoy.
Morning. The following programming contains adult subject matter and some strong language. It is a work of satirical fiction. All characters and advertisements are completely fabricated. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening and welcome to White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight we're coming to you right here from the heart of UBC Vancouver. Tonight we have a historical theatre piece from Britain. I introduce to you Copy Wrong.
Hello, welcome to the Patent Office. My name is Eric. Hey, may I help you?
Hello, my name is Mr. Roundabout, and I would like to patent my new invention. It's a new form of traffic control using a circular intersection which allows for constant self-adjusting flow.
Ah, and what do you call it?
I've named it after myself. I call it a John.
That's no good.
Why?
There is already something called a John.
No, there is something called the John. This is a John. It's completely different.
How?
It isn't spelt with a H, for starters.
But imagine the confusion. You'd have news reports like, there was a massive pile-up on a John today. Two youths were arrested for urinating on a John. It sounds like two kids pissed on a man buying sex. And giving directions would be ridiculous. You go through the intersection, over the first John, take the second right on the next John, and if you see the third John, you've gone too far.
Well, what else would I call it?
How about, a roundabout?
Name it after my last name? That's a ridiculous suggestion. I'm not as arrogant as that Peter traffic light.
But you said John was your name as well.
Yes, but it is many other men's name as well. I'm pretty sure I'm the only person called roundabout.
Well, we can't accept this patent request. It is unacceptable.
Well, then it is England's loss. Good day to you.
No, it isn't. I will just Tom Edison this. And voila! I now own the patent for a circular traffic control system, henceforth known as the Eric.
That sneaky bugger. The same thing happened to me with my amazing invention, the Pi Phone. It was the delicious, usable phone. What happened, you see, was someone broke into my house and kept stealing the prototypes, and they kept feeding my cat as well. Snuggles lost all of her agility. Next up tonight is a very special piece. It is the legendary Carl Sagan discussing a topic very dear to me.
The beginning, man has been plagued with a question bigger than our own experience. Some say it doesn't exist, some say it is the center of our universe. We have tried to explain it with science, and when that fails, religion. Some becoming satisfied to believe that God has created something beyond our own understanding, a metaphysical power so great most would rather pretend it doesn't exist rather than attempt to grasp it. I am, of course, talking about the female orgasm. I, Carl Sagan, have spent the last 6 months investigating this phenomenon, plumbing new depths until I reached a state of enlightenment and profound understanding beyond any previous expertise, thanks to the considerable generosity of the employees of the Amsterdam Red Light District. I have managed to collect and analyzed countless sets of empirical data. My findings were clear. My first conclusion was, I am not a talented lover. Secondly, the female orgasm is out there. It lurks just beyond the scope of my understanding. Like the Higgs boson, I can conceptually grasp it, but it will take greater people than me to unlock its secrets and appreciate the immensity of its power and impact. I have helped forward this crucial area of research, but only the next generation can make sure we move forward in the quest for true knowledge.
Carl, for that illuminating monologue. Excuse me while I Google some things. Actually, I should probably wait till I get home. It is now time for some art. This excerpt is from a Danish radio piece called Bofala, or in English, The Roommates. I did want to show you the much better subtitled version, but then realised that doesn't really work on radio. So alas, here is the dubbed version.
Hey guys. Mail's here. One for me, one for you, and none for you. Oh my god. I can't believe it. I only applied as a joke. I've got into Harvard. Wow. This is unbelievable. Never in my wildest dreams. Wait, hang on. It's April 1st, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, I get it. Nice try, you dicks. I'm not falling for that one again. Last year I had to explain to my mum why I wasn't going to be on The Bachelorette after all. It nearly killed her. She was going to ring them and complain, you asses.
It wasn't me. I swapped his acne medication for Vagisil and changed every artist in his iTunes to unknown. Was it you?
No. I just drank all his beer.
Well, should we tell him?
Nah, that'll teach him for not buying toilet paper.
A fascinating beginning to a fascinating show. Where's my thesaurus? God damn it. We shall return later for some more delicious morsels from the Bofala. Coming up next is the talented Natalie Jean, a German journalist who's interviewing the owner of a unique profession.
Good evening, and welcome to Mildly Interesting Jobs. I'm Natalie Jean, and tonight we are speaking with professional mortician Herbert Drand.
Good evening, I'm sorry for your loss. Whoops, force of habit. Good evening, Natalie. Nice to talk to someone who isn't crying for a change.
Oh, do you live alone?
No, but my wife hasn't spoken to me since I voted for Bush.
American Democrat, is she?
No, professional porn star.
And do you have kids?
No, I'm a career-driven man. Always have been since I found my passion.
And how did you decide to become a mortician?
Well, one night, I was at a party, and my friend got so drunk he passed out. So naturally, we started drawing on him, and I just thought, how fun is this? I should do this professionally. The next thing I know, I'm embalming bodies and dressing dead guys.
What characteristics are important for a mortician to have?
Well, you have to like being around people. You don't have to like talking to them, but you have to get used to the smell. No one seems to ever remember to have a wash just before they die. I suppose they have other things on their mind.
Do people need specific qualifications to do this job?
Probably, but the customers are all dead, so people don't really catch your mistakes often.
Is there any work experience people can do to prep themselves for your career?
We don't offer any direct work experience, but working in a department store is good practice.
How so?
You can dress mannequins, which obviously is similar to corpses. You can see what old people are wearing these days, keep up with their fashions. That's important. And after a year in retail, being a mortician will seem like a delight.
Do you have any regrets?
Regrets? Yes. What I ordered for lunch, who I married, my cable package, but my job? No. I'm my own boss, weekends off, and I don't need to wear pants to work.
What about if a customer comes in?
I just stay sat behind the desk. I just make an excuse, tell them I'm too drunk to stand, that sort of thing.
Last question, Herbert. What is your proudest moment in your job?
That's an easy one. I had a lady come in a few years back, and she had suffered a terrible head injury. Her large, close family was devastated, and there were many tears. I was dressing the body that evening, and when I noticed something, she had a 50 euro note in her pants pocket, and she wasn't going to use it, so I treated the wife to a nice meal.
That was your proudest moment?
It's dressing dead people, hon. It's a thankless job. Of course, that was before my wife started the porn career. Not that I take offense to her doing that. I just resent her earning more money than me.
Thank you, Herbert. Join us next week for more mildly interesting jobs.
Thank you, Natalie and Herbert. If you'd like information on becoming a mortician, please contact your local psychiatrist. I would like to now return to Bofala, our Danish play, and this piece follows a climactic scene in the play.
Morning, you pair. How are your weekends?
Terrible. I spent all weekend getting over a bug.
Well, I ticked one off my bucket list.
Oh, yeah?
Yep, had my first threesome.
Congratulations. Your mother must be so proud.
Actually, she wasn't as impressed as I thought she'd be. Though it wasn't really the good kind. It wasn't the kind you dream of as a heterosexual man. You know, the male, female, female. It was the bad kind. It was the male, male, male.
Oh.
It wasn't my fault. The text said three. You just assume someone invites a woman. My God, breakfast was so awkward.
Do you want some more sausage?
No, I've had quite enough, thanks.
Another enlightening excerpt from an award-winning Danish play. That item was brought to you by Dutch Ovens Incorporated. Next up tonight is a Dutch piece entitled Animosity. Good.
Do you have to do that in front of my restaurant?
It's a diner shop, not a restaurant.
It is a restaurant, you asshole! I have a business license for a restaurant, not a shop!
You have two chairs, lady.
Whatever. Take your filthy cigarette elsewhere.
Where exactly?
Anywhere.
Well, I can't exactly go to the park, or a beach, or a pub, or, like, a bush, or any building whatsoever. Unlike the alley behind here has, like, 30 hypodermic needles and 10 air intake vents. So, like, where exactly am I meant to go?
I don't care. Just stop doing that in front of my shop.
So it is your shop. Easy. You burst a blood vessel, and that would suck. Because then all, like, that not smoking would have been pointless.
You're scaring away the customers.
That diarrhea-inducing meat you serve is doing that.
You cheeky bastard.
Number 12?
Oh, come on. Put it out. Your food's ready.
Oh, great. I'll be right in. Lots of ketchup, please.
Thank you to the Rotterdam Players Group for that slice of theatrical nice. Now we head to the US for a piece by journalist Jenny von der Block, who specializes in interviewing drug addicts, or as they like to be known, Las Vegas DJs.
Welcome to DJ Insider, where we go behind the turntables and find out what makes these modern music pioneers tick, and find out how they prepare for their grueling shows. Today we meet DJ Sugar Tits, Las Vegas' biggest up-and-coming talent. He has already sold out arenas across the USA and has two permanent residencies in Ibiza. Thanks for joining us, ST.
So,
can you tell the listeners about how you prepare for a show?
Well, it's probably too complex for normal people to understand, but basically, I gotta log into my computer and then click on the iTunes icon and then put in my password. Then I gotta copy and paste my playlist for the night. Once I've done that, I gotta find the right t-shirt. You know, the wrong t-shirt can mess up the whole thing. It's not all champagne and bitches and all. It's a lot of planning is required, you know what I'm saying? Like, am I gonna fist bump, you know, like, ruh, 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 or do that rain-making thing, you know, like, you know what I'm saying?
Thanks for the demonstration, but we are on radio, don't forget.
Ah, yeah, okay.
So what's the toughest show you've ever had to do?
Well, that's easy. Back in 2009, I forgot my laptop at home because DJ JJ had been up all night snorting Oxycontin, and so I had to borrow JJ's laptop and his iTunes, which was in French, and when I pressed play, God knew what would happen, that's it.
What do you love most about DJing?
Probably the bitches. They think I'm a genius. And, well, secondly, taking credit for other people's talent, it's very satisfying.
What do you think it takes to become a DJ?
About $1,500.
And why did you decide to become a DJ?
It all started when I first went to the club at 18 and saw one of the local greats, DJ Taut, and I thought to myself, hey, even I could do that. And I realized I couldn't afford the CDs and turntables, and then I found out I could buy a laptop, pirate the music, and then that was that. I was banging bitches in no time at all. DJ for life!
That's all the time we have. Thank you for joining us today, DJ Sugar Tits, and good luck with your forthcoming album. I can't believe we are still paying people to do this. And join us next time when DJ Skidmark takes us behind the scenes of his gold-plated Cochrane collection.
Captivating stuff. Enthralling content. Thank you, Thesaurus. That interview was brought to you in part by the Tattoo Artist Association. Who needs a personality when you can draw one on? Next up tonight is a debate on the idea of freedom. Are we free, or are we somebody else's disposable plaything?
Good evening, and welcome to Philosophy Friends. Tonight's topic, are we free? Is there free will, or is Descartes right? Are we all in the Matrix? I'm Leah Fell, and tonight I'm joined by Democratic Senator Kendall Jones, Republican Representative Oscar Nova, tyrannical dictator President Kali of Najirkistan, and Guantanamo Bay inmate Ali Neverfree.
Hello!
Can someone take the gag out of Ali's mouth? Jesus Christ!
I will do it.
Thank you, Kali.
No problem. Although, ironically, I'm usually the one putting the gags in.
Okay, maybe this is a good starting point. Kali, are we free?
We are born free, I believe. And we choose whether or not to be constrained by the forces around us.
That is easy for you to say when you have an army to protect you.
It is a small army. We are always using last year's guns. It is very shameful. The other dictators always make fun of me at Putin's pool parties.
Well, dictators aside, are we free? Oscar, what are your thoughts?
Well, as a Republican, I can only speak for Americans. I have no knowledge of anything outside our borders, but I can confidently speak for all 318 million U.S. citizens, and no, we are not free. We are enslaved by our burdening tax system, draining us of our freedom, and for what? To feed the poor? To fund PBS? To stop polio? What a waste. You might as well just burn the money.
That is so wrong.
Excuse me?
That's not why we aren't free. It's the spending on the industrial military complex. It's drones. It's data collection. It's Michael Bay movies. It's all keeping us locked up.
Don't forget the literal locking up.
Sorry, Ali. It's just easy to forget Gitmo these days. Everyone in America seems to have, but private, for-profit prisons on American soil are also a grave concern.
For-profit prisons make total sense.
How so?
A private business can do anything a government does better.
What about regulating sports?
Let them cheat. Who cares? Bigger muscles, bigger hits, bigger advertising revenues.
What about writing laws?
Trust me, private companies already write the laws in America.
Okay, well, how about the army?
That has to stay government-controlled for sure, but I never said it didn't.
You just said a private company could do anything better.
I do not recall.
This isn't a Senate hearing, Oscar. That doesn't work here.
I do not recall.
Well, you pair have had the lion's share of the conversation. Let's move over to Ali next.
Thank you, Leah. This is typical Americans. You are both arguing about freedom as if taxation is anything compared to being imprisoned without a trial. Losing 25 to 40% of your paycheck to prevent poverty, pain, crime, and suffering should be not only an honor, but also your pleasure. You both make Kali look humble you're so stuck up. And he came here in a diamond-shaped helicopter.
It's a loaner. I borrowed it off Kanye West.
Come on, get real. You guys want to talk about freedom? Make sure we're all using the same definition first.
Okay, so you want to go with a very literal definition of incarceration, Allie?
Yep.
Well, it's all relative. I'm never gonna end up in chains, am I? I mean, freedom is very different between me and little Allie here.
You would be little, too, if your village had been living off of UN supply drops for the past 20 years.
Well, sort it out. Grow some plants. Use your brains. Some people are just lazy.
Oscar, don't get me started! The forced settlement and agricultural industrialization of African nomadic tribes...
All right, Allie, we haven't got time for that. Let's try and stay on topic.
Well, what can I say? Some people in the world are very free, whilst others remain incarcerated from birth till death.
You're so dramatic, Allie. Lighten up a bit. Tell you what, after we're done here, I'll get us a cab into town. We'll have some drinks, some food. I will show you what freedom we do have. The freedom the government hasn't taken away yet.
I'm being forced to fly back to Gitmo right after this, Oscar.
Oh.
It's not closed, dude. I have to go back.
Oh, right. Yeah. Ooh, this is awkward.
You could visit him there, Oscar.
Quiet, Kendall. I offered him a beer. I never said I'd start a support group.
It's okay. They take the blindfolds off sometimes. They even let us talk to each other once a month. The beatings aren't as bad once you become numb.
All right, fine. I will support your right for freedom, but only if Callie joins. A whole but albeit crappy country supporting the issue would attract more mainstream attention.
Fine. I will ask my Congress. Oh, wait. I had them all executed last week. Never mind. I decide. I'm in,
of course, too.
No surprise there. The bleeding hot liberal sticks her wet nose in.
I'm on your side.
Sorry, force of habit.
Well, I think we should leave it there for today. Oscar has a Twitter storm to brew. Kendall has an NPR interview to prepare for. Callie has a country to consume. And Allie has a plane to catch. Join us again for more Philosophy Friends.
Thank you for that marvelous piece, Leah. That segment was brought to you in part by the Chiropractors Association. We use the term doctor loosely. Next up tonight is an infomercial for a product I own 20% of. From the people who brought you such musical collections as the best green room recordings ever!
Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. Ding, 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 ding.
And post-gig discussions.
That went pretty well, I thought.
Yeah, we sang all the songs all the way through.
Yeah, the crowd was a banger.
Yeah, it was a banger.
You played well today.
Yeah, I played all the songs.
We now bring you the best of music recorded on phones at gigs, featuring all your favorites such as... And... And who could forget... Don't miss your chance to own them all now! And act soon and receive this limited edition video recorded on someone's shitty camera. Call now. Now available in all good retailers and in the car park if you meet me later. Next up tonight is the return of the award-winning memoirs of Sir Henry Shufflebottom. Today's piece comes from his journey through the magical country of Italy. Buon appetito. Dear Daddy, I'm writing to you from the veranda of my beautiful Tuscan villa. A young local girl is feeding me grapes as another youth fans me. Totally worth the 30 euros an hour that cost. Italy is an astounding place. I began my journey here on the canals of Venice. It's one of the most romantic cities in the world. Want to get used to the smell. Alas, I was alone in this lover's town, which did take the shine off it. Riding in badly designed boats with a hairy middle-aged man powering it with a stick seems idiotic on your own. So next, I ventured to Pisa to see the famed tower.
Upon my arrival, I was a little underwhelmed. It is literally just a bit of shoddy Italian engineering. There is not much else to say about it. The cathedral next door is actually a lot more well-crafted, perfectly straight, and should probably get more fame. Not that I can remember what it was called now, anyway. I didn't stop long. I carried on to Florence, the birthplace of the Renaissance, the home of Michelangelo, Da Vinci, and Machiavelli, home to lovers and liars in equal measure. Florence stole my heart, and the busty girl I shared my bed with in the first night stole my traveller's checks. My one regret was I'd never had time to see the statue of David. Apparently, he's scientifically sculpted to make men feel less inadequate. Next on my itinerary was the capital, Rome. I had high expectations for the city that had once ruled the entire of Europe 2,000 years before I was even born. The Colosseum was a fascinating bit of architecture. It was originally designed to house fights to the death between lions and Christians. Unfortunately, they don't do that anymore. The night scene in Rome was amazing too, though. Everyone dressed so fashionably, hair done, makeup on. Everyone does it, even the ugly people. I even saw a homeless man in a bow tie. The wealthy there, they take it to another level. They make us British aristocrats look like a bunch of inbred royal rejects. We did not need any help with that, honestly. The most extraordinary thing, though, I saw in Rome was the football match I attended. It appeared to be more theatre than sport. That was later to be revealed to be because of the rather prevalent pastime of Italian footballers called match-fixing. My last new city to explore on my trip was to be the city of Naples, set at the foot of Mount Vesuvius, the famous volcano. I was literally terrified the volcano would go off the whole time I was there. Every time a car would backfire, I'd panic. I've never gone through so much underwear on a trip, not even my India one. It was worth the mess, though. Naples was beautiful, the food was immense, and the volcano didn't kill me. I am now, though, as I said earlier, back in Tuscany. I may stay here not only for the rest of my trip, but for all eternity. I will send for my things, give my love to Mother, best wishes, Henry. And P.S., let me know if anyone dies or if we get a new Prime Minister. I really can't be bothered reading the papers or learning Italian.
Ah, Italy. Arguably the sexiest nation on the planet. Last up tonight is alternative theatre piece, Hipster Heartbreak.
Hey, dude, we really need to, like, talk.
Talk? That is so mainstream.
Yeah, but we need to.
I'm kind of busy. I'm recording rare DVDs on a Betamax. It's making a comeback, you know?
Well, this is more important.
I doubt it. And anyway, after this, I'm brewing some amazing mead.
Please, just listen.
Fine, what is it?
I'm breaking up with you.
What? Why?
You're just not hipster enough for me.
You're joking, right? Me? Not hipster enough? I was the first guy to drink PBR.
No, you weren't. That beer's like 150 years old.
Well, I totally brought in Paisley.
Really? I don't remember your fashion career.
Well, I can change. I could be a better hipster. I could wear more plaid. I could bake gluten-free. I could grow a terrible mustache. I promise.
It's not enough, Kane. I'm sorry.
What about all the ultimate frisbee we shared? The improv comedy nights? The vegan dinners? The 12 hours of feminist monologues?
It's not enough.
How can you do this to me?
What? You knew what I was like when we met.
What you were like? I was an accountant for a large law firm with a six-figure income. I had it all until that fateful night when I stumbled across your one-woman show. But I gave it all up in that instant as I became enchanted by you. And I moved into this weird shed living space.
Hey, guys. Can I borrow some sage?
Could you just give us 10 minutes, Tess?
It's my room, too.
Oh, I know. We hear you. Look, Hannah, I became what I thought you wanted me to be so we could be together. So just tell me what to do.
It's over, Kane. I've fallen for another.
Who is he?
Oh, don't worry about it. It's someone you've never heard of.
Give it some time, give it some time, give it, take it or leave it. Unlucky Kane, I've been there too. I once got a tattoo for a woman's affection. I don't even like butterflies. That's the end of the show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, featuring the voice talents of John Greenway, Mariana Mate, Connor Shelput, Sierra Wiley, Victoria Bass, and Simon Welton. Music and sound effects by Max Cheers.
Have you received your Metro Vancouver Transportation and Transit Plebiscite voting package? If you didn't receive your voting package and you would like one mailed to you, simply call Elections BC at 1-800-661-8683. That's 1-800-661-8683. Or go online at elections.bc.ca/OVR to register or update your voter information and ask for a voting package to be mailed to you. This message is brought to you by Elections BC.
All right, that was the White Noise Show. My name is Simon Welton. You're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM. I'm live here with Kelly Dyer. Say hello, Kelly.
Hey, what's up, Simon? How's it going?
Good, man. How are you feeling today?
Oh, pretty good. Bad. Another day I got ground.
Sweet, sweet. All right, so we're definitely going to be right back with a bit of chat, but we're going to play a song first. So if you have any questions for Kelly, it's whitenoiseubc@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at whitenoiseubc, but we'll be right back after this. All right, so here we are in the studio on the White Noise After Show. I'm here with Kelly Dyer. He is a professional Yuk Yuks touring comic. He's just done shows in Halifax and elsewhere on the Eastern Board. He also runs shows up in Squamish and Whistler, which we're going to talk about later, and has been featured on Sirius FM for his comedy. So he's got quite a resume. But what we're going to do right now is we're actually going to play a little bit from one of his shows. This was recorded at Yuk Yuks in Vancouver, which is a cracking spot if you are looking for somewhere to go watch some comedy. So yeah, check this out, see what you think.
I mentioned that I'm old, obviously, and as an old guy, I hear a lot of old expressions, and they always drive me crazy. I heard one the other day, never hit anybody with glasses. I disagree. Kind of like weak, feeble, cowardly. If I was going to hit anybody, it would be someone with glasses. One shot right in the face. Now they've got tiny little bits of glass and they're already horrible eyes. They're not going to be able to identify me in a police lineup. It's a one victim crime. And that person is not me. By round of applause, guys, who thought high school was custom designed by the devil himself? Anybody? That was a very good time. I had a horrible time, man. It's kind of like the end of The Innocents. You're like, oh, I am going to be judged by my looks. Shit. Fuck. And I remember thinking, I hope I'm not bald when I'm older. But for me, the problem is definitely like got to be the curriculum. Like, I don't think it's exactly stood the test of time. The world's changed quite a bit since I went to high school. Like, is anyone going to geography, or do you just show up and whip out your smartphone and be like, Google Earth, oh. See you in 45 minutes. And then you've got subjects like Canadian history. Oh, I struggle to get through the day without this wealth of knowledge. I find more often than not knowing the origins of the Hudson Bay Company's beaver pelt monetary system. Helps get me out of a jam. Anyone else find the name Sir Wilfrid Laurier and John A. Macdonald coming up on a lot in a day-to-day, or is it just me?
All right, so that was Kelly Dyer live at Yuk Yuks there, and he's here with the studios now. So how you doing today, man?
Pretty good, dude. Pretty psyched. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
No worries. So I always like to start off by, you know, getting a bit of background on you. What's your sort of philosophy and psychology in comedy? So what made you want to get into comedy?
It was kind of just like a necessity. I think I was like literally, this is a common story among a lot of comics. I was driving my friends insane, vying for attention, trying to be the life of the party. So this has actually kind of made me like normal, believe it or not, like giving me an outlet to be a lunatic and not bother my friends and family with it all the time. It's like, I'm actually not as funny anymore to them because I actually have a place where I do it like 2 or 3, 4 times a week. So
yeah, fair dues, fair dues. I mean, I always find that it's quite annoying too, where like if you do try me funny, some people might be like, are you trying out material on me?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Luckily I don't have to do that anymore, man. I have a complete like brother of people that I hang out with, other comics, man. It's crazy. Like the community that exists in Vancouver, just that feeling of like, oh, I belong, like I'm not the only nut job. So it was kind of cool to like meet other comics and befriend them and like be kind of part of this like club, basically.
Yeah, no, fair is. I mean, it's amazing how many comics there is in the city right now.
Oh yeah, man, it's like blooming everywhere, man. It's unbelievable. There's rooms popping up all over the place, rooms that have been around forever. It's really been the trendy thing to do the last couple of years, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, do you stand up, or do you venture into any other sort of medium?
I just do stand up. I pretty much have just been focusing on that until I become a headliner. Anyway, like I'm 4.5 years in, so probably another year and a half, maybe 2 years before I'm a headliner. So
yeah,
I'm just gonna focus on that before I venture out on any other things.
Fair enough. So like, so when it, for you, for comedy, like what is it that you really like about it? Like
In the beginning it was the attention, but now that I've, you know, really discovered that I am in fact funny and I don't need to be proven it every night by applause and strangers' laughter, it's just an outlet for me, man, to like get this stuff out of my head. Basically, it's like, you know, you've heard it before, people like say it's therapy. For me, if I don't do it for a couple of days, like I took this week off after coming back from tour, I'm just chomping at the bit to get back on stage because I've got all this stuff in me that needs to get out, whether it's old jokes or new jokes. I just need to like express myself.
Nice. So when it comes to jokes, like, what's your writing method? Like, how do you go about it?
I use the phone, man. Ever since the iPhone, I don't know how comics survived before without it, but the microphone feature on Notes is a saving grace for me in the car, wherever I am. If I've got an idea, I jot it down. Then it usually stays in my phone for anywhere from like a week to months before it actually hits the stage. It depends how like excited I am about it.
Yeah.
I turned a joke before I went on tour into a weekend stage worthy joke at the clubs in like a week because I was so excited about it. And it was such a cool premise.
Yeah.
And I just did it like four nights in a row and it was ready to go like a week later. So
fair enough. I mean, if it works, it works.
Yeah, right? It worked. It worked right out of the gate. So nice.
What was the topic?
That stupid expression, like that, you heard the glasses joke earlier there about old school expressions here, but people that say like, oh, I can't make it, but I'll be there in spirit. Like, this is complete bull crap. Like, just say you're not going to come. No one has ever been at a party and be like, who's that nut job in the corner, man? He's a real firecracker. Oh, that's Jim's spirit. He couldn't make it tonight. So, you know, it's just stupid things like that. That's what comics do. We shine a light on the absurd or make the mundane funny, right? And like a lot of people say that all the time. Oh, I'll be there in spirit. But, you know, we as comics turn this stuff into to laughs.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that term is probably more fashionable with the older generation. Like, don't hear a lot of 20-year-olds go, I'll be there in spirit today.
No, you won't. But you'd be surprised, man. Like, a funeral, you'll hear that a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Or if it's a big event, like a wedding or something like that, they'll try to pout off their absence. Like, oh, I'll be there. Oh, like, you're home all day thinking about this event.
It almost feels like they should just say, I wish I could be bothered to be there.
I wish I had the foresight to plan ahead, but I don't. So I'm not coming. Yeah.
Dear. All right. Well, we'll play one more song. We'll be back in a minute. This song coming up is by a new band that is Canadian. So you should definitely go out and buy them. And they're called Big Dick.
And you guys just made your seven minutes.
CITR members, CITR's annual general meeting is this March 30th at the UBC Sub Ballroom. The annual general meeting consists of reports, elections for new community board members, elections for the leaders of next year's student executive, and voting on bylaw changes. It is a super important event for CITR members to attend. We need at least 60 student members present to be able to vote, so please tell your pals. After the annual general meeting, we will have a volunteer appreciation party, celebrating accomplishments throughout the year, giving away prizes, and offering free food. This March 30th at the UBC Sub Ballroom.
All right, so we're here on CITL 101.9 FM. I'm Simon Welton. I'm joined by Kelly Dyer in the studio. That was Big Dick you were just listening to. I hope you enjoyed that.
Who wouldn't enjoy Big Dick on Saturday night?
Yeah, I mean, it's really just the perfect accompaniment to comedy. So, yeah, we're talking with Kelly Dyer. He was just telling me about how he's just been on tour. And so why don't you tell us about that? Like, what's it like being a comic on tour? Like, how is it different to being in your own town? And, like, you know, why should we want to get to that stage?
Like, it's not for everybody, first of all. Like, a lot of people aspire to be a touring working comedian, but it's just like any other jobs. There's pitfalls, there's downfalls. Definitely one of the things, if you don't like being alone or isolated, don't become a touring working stand-up comedian, because you'll be flying to the gig alone, you'll be hanging out in your hotel room alone, you'll be doing a lot of stuff alone. So it's kind of an isolated art form for sure. It's you. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're lucky, you know the headliner, you know the MC, and you guys got a little bit of a communal thing going on. But sometimes it is just you being flown out and you're working with the guys that are like from that town or whatever. So, yeah, it's weird, man. You get these gig sheets from people. You don't know who you're meeting on the other end. You just are given a name, a phone number, a location. It's kind of a little bit like the mob, actually. It's a little bit like a hitman. You don't know who these people are. You're just given an address. Go see Sharon and do a good job. That's pretty much
She'll
it.
She'll take care of you.
So. Pretty much, dude. Yeah. Pretty much.
Oh, dear. So do you have any really good memories of being on tour? Like anything in particular?
Yeah, I mean, just working with some of my buddies that I like started doing comedy with that were headliners long before me, and then actually getting to that point where I'm opening up for them, and it's like, yeah, you get to travel together, you get to hang out. Like, I was just in Halifax with Brett Martin.
Nice.
He's one of the, you know, first people I met in comedy. Super nice guy. So it was cool to go away and experience that with him. He'd been a bunch of times. So I'd never been to the East Coast at all. So I've traveled the whole world, but I've never been to, like, a lot of Canada. So it was really cool to go to, you know, Halifax, and definitely Newfoundland stood out for sure. Very unique place, very cool people, and love comedy there.
Nice. So is the scene any different, like, in Toronto and on the East Coast, or, like...
Yeah, I mean, Toronto's kind of like, some would argue, the hub of the Canadian comedy scene, just because you've got all the television shows that are produced there.
Yeah, Second City and all that going on.
Exactly, a rich history of comedy, slash, you know, CBC headquarters is there. A lot of the money in Canadian... That's where the Canadian Comedy Awards are based. The majority of comics in Canada live in Toronto. So they've got a really big scene, big city, tons of rooms, really spread out, though. I think if you're new or an aspiring comic, Vancouver's a much better and easier place to get stage time for sure.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, like, what are your, like, biggest influences with comedy? I always think that's an interesting question. Like,
yeah, I grew up in a pretty laughing, carefree, not serious family at all. So, right. Like, as a kid growing up, we listened to Carlin, we listened to Williams, we listened to Cosby. Those were all, like, mainstays in my childhood. Like, I remember my parents sitting me down with Robin Williams at Carnegie Hall and, like, we're watching this. And just all being, like, teary-eyed on the couch. But I started comedy late. I started comedy... like when I was 37.
Wow.
So some would argue that puts you a little bit more behind the eight ball than others. For me, I think I've got a little bit more of a life experience to share up there.
Yeah, it's easier to sell, I think, the older you are a little bit. And that, like, yeah, it's a bit hard to be 20 and scream life lessons at people on stage.
Yeah, like, what are you going to do about there? Go up there and talk about women? It's like, well, what have you gone out with, three?
Yeah.
And, you know, like the whole family element. I've got a son. I've traveled a fair bit. I've led a life, so I've got, like, a lot of experience to draw on. I also think about, for me, it buys a lot of credibility. It's not just about jokes for me. It's about whose mouth is it coming out of.
Like, yeah, well, that's it. And I think, like, when you're at that age, you kind of probably have a better idea of what is relatable in life, and that you've gone through enough that you see the similarities with other people and what they experience.
Exactly. It's harder for a 20-year-old to get a 40-year-old to laugh than it is for a 40-year-old to get a 20-year-old to laugh.
Oh, I know.
Easily.
I've noticed that from trying to make my father laugh a few times.
Yeah, that's a tough sell.
Yeah, the guy thinks Monty Python's the only funny thing ever done, so...
It sounds like our fathers would get along swimmingly. Yeah. Yeah. Is it not dry British humor? I'm not interested. That's pretty much my family's
take.
Yeah,
otherwise it's just bloody stupid. I mean, I showed him Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and he was just dumbfounded. He's like, what the hell is that? Why is Danny DeVito naked? Like, I just didn't understand it at all.
Yeah, right.
But.
Yeah, well, to each their own. To each their own.
Oh, dear. All right, I think we're going to play one more song, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to chat some more about Kelly's upcoming show. So hang about for a bit longer, please.
Ceci, je l'ai fait juste pour toi. Je ne sais pas ce que c'est, peut-être que tu le sais. J'y ai mis tout ce que j'avais à donner. Tous mes mystères, mes défauts, mes certitudes et mes doutes.
vois-tu que mon cœur est ouvert comme le ciel est tout à l'envers? Ou bien on se cache pour la nuit? L'odomètre indique qu'il n'y a pas de fer en vie. Chérie, prends ceci. Fais pas semblant de dormir. Sinon ça suffit. Cesse de menacer.
By the way, this is somebody's favorite show! Hi, Dan Shakespeare here. You know, for most of the stuff that I play, you probably think that I'm much older, but you know what? Most of you are probably way off, because I'm only 23 years old. Tune in to the Shakespeare Show between noon and 1 p.m. on Wednesdays. It's songs from before the 1920s to alternative stuff today, plus jokes and riddles, all sorts of fun stuff. Just put any of it on your iTunes if you need to. Pretty soon it'll be coming out on albums.
All right, so you're listening to the CITR 101.9. I'm Simon Welton. I'm here with Kelly Dyer, and we're just chatting out. We got a question in from someone listening, so we're going to ask Kelly. Kelly, what is the zaniest thing you've ever done at a party?
At a party?
That's the question.
I would have to say getting butt naked and making a beeline for that hot tub and running through the screen door.
That's the most Canadian answer you could have come up with.
That's
really
pretty much,
wasn't it?
I think everyone has a story like that.
Hot tub and screen door.
Yeah, hot tub, screen door. A classic. Time-honored Canadian tradition.
But it's funny you mentioned the screen door, because when we first moved to Canada, we brought our dog with us from England, and we don't have screen doors in England, so she destroyed like four screen doors by running through them.
Yeah, well, at least it was the dog and not your younger brother or whatever, like my household. I think we went through about eight. Yeah.
All right, so you grew up to be like a scientist, doctor, brain surgeon?
Neither one of those. Any one of those, Simon. No. Negative.
Oh, dear.
Carpenter comedian.
There we go. It all makes sense.
It does.
So, we're going to talk about what you got coming up. So, here we've got you got a big show at the Max Fish restaurant. Is it a restaurant?
No, it's a nightclub.
Oh, sorry, nightclub,
yeah.
Rather.
Yeah.
In Whistler. It's on April 12th. And it's tickets are $15. It's going to be Kelly Dyer, Joe Baum. Is that how you pronounce that?
John Baum, yeah.
John Baum and James Kennedy.
Roger that. All Yucks Comics.
Nice. So all touring Yucks Pro Comics. That's the Grown Up the Mountain show. And that's part of the Ski and Snowboard Fest that's happening up there. So do you want to tell us a bit more about that show?
I've done some sets at some of the other shows during the festival, and then they approached me last year. I wanted to put kind of like a more specific kind of themed show together. So, just came up with the idea of like growing up the mountain, and the idea being basically that growing up in a ski town, which I did more or less, moving from Toronto at the age of 19, one really never does grow up living in a ski town, and you wouldn't really ever want to. So we're going to write some specific jokes, and then I'm going to be the host, and those guys are going to co-headline, do like half an hour each, and we're looking forward to it, man. I can't wait.
Nice, nice. So is there, like, I always like to, when we're talking about shows, like, what's your favorite shows in Vancouver? Like, if you want to recommend them for people, where should they be going?
King's Head has to be, speaking of James Kennedy, one of the more popular shows right now.
Nice. And Kits, that one keeps coming up.
Oh, yeah, man. It's definitely the hottest room in the city for sure. Always love going to Corduroy, run by Mr. John Bueller. It's a great spot on Wednesdays as well. Displays. Kind of Wednesday is one of the greatest nights in comedy in the city. You got the Comedy Mix, you got Yuck Yucks, you got three or four independent shows. So, you know, if you've got a sort of a name for yourself, you can easily get in four or five shows on a Wednesday.
Wow.
If you're trying to work out some new bits and get them home quick.
Well, that'll definitely help. Five in a night, bloody hell.
Yeah, that's my record is five.
Yeah.
I think the all-time record is seven, but that was before you have to be... if you're signed with Yuck Yucks, you can't do the Comedy Mix.
Oh.
So you have to be an unsigned comic to get seven shows in a night.
I thought you were going to say that was back when cocaine was more popular in the scene. Like, we had the energy for eight shows.
Yeah, no, that would have been a long time ago that was popular in the scene. You'd have to talk to some of the old timers like Damon Schritter or Kevin Fox. They'd be able to fill you in on those details better than I would.
Not accusing them of anything, by the way.
No, we're not naming any names here on air. Kevin Fox and Damon Schritter.
Oh dear. All right, so that is actually just about our show. That's pretty well 9 o'clock. So yeah, you've been listening to the White Noise After Show. My name is Simon Welton. We had Kelly Dyer in the studio today, so if you want to catch him, make sure you do at the Whistler Ski and Snowboard Fest. It's the Grand Up the Mountain Show. It's April 12th. Tickets are $15. What time does it start?
It starts at 9:30.
So nice and late, so you got time to get up to the mountain and then you can go skiing in the morning. So why the hell aren't you doing it?
Roger.
Yeah, it's got three pros on the bill, so it's going to be a really good, really good show. So make sure you're there for that. Otherwise, make sure you join us next week. We're going to have another half hour of White Noise comedy. And we're also, I'm not sure who our guest is next week, but definitely have someone on. Coming up right now is the Synaptic Sandwich, which is a cracking show. So make sure you stay tuned for that.
Sweet. Well, thanks for having me, Simon. And just a quick shout-out to my sponsor, 9 O'Clock Guns. They are sponsoring the show in Whistler. They make awesome hats. They supply me with my buckets. If you've seen my act, a hat is an integral part of my stand-up routine. Fantastic. Thanks for having me again, man.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for coming in.